We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
I want you to open your Bibles to Romans, the first chapter. I really like the 16th verse, and then I read on down, and I like all the others, so we'll just read them all. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now here in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us some things that are very important to us. And in the last few months, the Lord's been dealing with me on this 20th verse. And this is the one that we want to deal with this morning. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Now, how in the world can you clearly see invisible things? Now, that sounds like a strange statement, doesn't it? But they're clearly seen. Then he goes on and explains it to you, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, the things that are made, the things that God created and set on this earth, even the earth itself reveals the hidden things. And if we can follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, I believe before this service is over, you'll have great insight into understanding the invisible things of God. The problem has been in the church world and in the body of Christ for many years is that somehow we tend to separate the natural from the natural things from spiritual things. We say, well, now this is natural, so it has nothing to do with the spiritual. But you know, Jesus never did do that. Jesus always took the natural things in one hand and said, now I'm going to show you how spiritual things work. And he began to talk about shepherds and sheepfolds and the grass and the vines and so on. And began to talk about sowing and reaping. About the mustard seed. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say. Well, he was revealing great insight and revelation knowledge in that of the unseen realm. But when we just simply get so involved with the mustard seed sometimes till we miss the whole point altogether. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, if I could just figure out what size mustard seed faith was, I believe I'd have it made. Well, you know, the fellow told me that one time. He said, if I could just figure out what size mustard seed size faith is. Well, he missed the whole point altogether. What Jesus is trying to do is to get us to he knew that people of that day understood the natural elements and the earth and how to farm and how that the nutrients of the earth was picked up in a plant and caused it to grow and to flourish. And when he said about the lilies of the field, he said not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed as one of these. And yet, it doesn't toil, it doesn't spin, it doesn't worry, it doesn't fret, it doesn't have to go through all of the motions that humans go through. But yet, he said, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these lilies. And even the grass of the field, that God clothed the grass of the field. that today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven. He says, how much more shall he clothe you, O you of little faith? Well, I see that God is trying, or Jesus is trying to get over to us that it doesn't take great faith. If you just have a little faith, it'll grow, you see, and it'll bring forth a manifestation of things that we have not seen. Now, let's read again this 20th verse. It's so important here in Romans, the first chapter. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead. Now, let's talk about this eternal power for just a little bit. Turn with me, if you would, there in your Bible over to 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter is speaking. Let's begin with verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. Now notice something here. According as His divine power. Whose divine power? God's divine power hath given unto us all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, God has already given to us everything that we have need of in this life that pertains to life and godliness. It's not a matter of us trying to talk God into it. It's not a matter of trying to be good enough. It's not a matter of trying to do something works and get approved of God. God has already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, He said grace and peace. It's through grace. It's through mercy. Thank God for mercy and grace. Somebody said, I want justice. No, you don't. You certainly don't. You better plead for mercy. But God has already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? According as His divine power. Now, you notice Paul said even the eternal power and the Godhead. The eternal power of God is His Word. God's Word is what upholds all things. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Then Hebrews, the first chapter, says He upholds all things by the Word of His power. Didn't say by the power of His Word. Now, sometimes we get the idea that we just switch it around and say by the power of His Word. He didn't say that. He said by the Word of His power. You see, I have some power in my fingers, but all of my power is not in my fingers. So when God says He upholds all things by the Word of His power, He's telling you where His power is. His power is in His Word. It is divine power. And here He says, according, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as His divine power hath given, His dunamis, His divine dunamis. That word in the Greek is dunamis, which means it's the word that we get our word dynamite or dynamo from. Dunamis, divine, energizing, self-reproducing power. A dynamo, the more it turns, the more it produces. The faster it turns, the more it can produce. It is generating energy. God's eternal power is in His Word. His Word can eternally change you. It can eternally change the things that you face. So God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's not a matter of us begging Him, talking Him into it. Well, how did He do that? Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, how many of you know you can't act any further than you have knowledge? You can't believe any further than you have knowledge. Whereby, let's go into verse 4. Whereby, or by this means, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other words, God, through His divine promises, with His divine word, through His eternal power, hath given to us all things. It belongs to us. Somebody said, well, if He's given it to me, why don't I have it? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Before the service is over, you're going to understand that. Faith is the substance of things. Faith is the divine energy of God. God's divine energy, His divine power, is in His Word. His Word is filled with faith. When you get faith in you, you'll have, when you get God's Word in you, you'll have faith. But now, how could you have faith in healing or faith in physical health if you didn't know that God had already given it to you? See, you, it may be yours, but you may not know about it, so you don't enter into it. God bless you. I do appreciate you allowing us to minister to you by means of radio today as we've taught about the invisible things of God. Our book offer this week is book offer number 7506. 7506. It's called Changing the Seen and Shaping the Unseen. 57-page paperback for $6 plus $3 postage and handling, a total of $9. In this book, we talk about such subjects as, well, here's the chapter titles, Looking at the Unseen. Now, how in the world can you look at the unseen? I mean, that sounds like a paradox. Well, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. So we look at the unseen by looking at the Word of God. God's Word says that if you give, it'll be given unto you. Well, you may not see people giving unto you, but if you give, you begin to confess the Word. You get that image on the inside of you. And one of the chapter titles in here is Faith is Unseen. God created the worlds with something you couldn't see. He didn't create it out of something that just appears on the scene. No, the Scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God framed the world with His words. So when you begin to look at God's Word, you begin to look at the unseen, because it promises a lot of things that haven't been manifest yet in your life. And you know that. Well, you begin to confess that Word until you can see yourself with it. Chapter 3 is called Changing the Seen. You can change what is seen. Chapter 4 is called Shut Your Mouth. That's what the angel did to Zacharias. He got his mouth closed or the promise would never come to pass. Offer number 7506, 57-page paperback for $6 plus $3 postage and handling, a total of $9. The toll-free order line is 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. We're glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
We're talking about God's divine power hath given unto us all things. He's not going to one of these days. So by the exceeding great and precious promises, He hath given unto us all things. The reason He did it, so that we could be partakers of His divine nature. In other words, we don't have to operate on the beggarly elements of the world. We can be partakers of the divine nature. The eternal power of God is in His Word. That Word is given to us in promise form. The promises of God is the source of all that God has given. Now catch this, because this is important to you. The Word of God is filled with faith. Paul says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, if you receive faith by hearing the Word of God, God's Word must be filled with faith. Because if there wasn't any faith in it, you couldn't receive faith by hearing it. Now, remember, I said faith is a divine energy of God. We could use several definitions for faith, but personally, that's the one I like the best. Faith is a substance of things. It is the divine energy that God has stored in that Word. God always releases sufficient faith in every word that He speaks to cause it to come to pass. There is sufficient eternal power in every word that God has ever spoken to cause it to come into manifestation. But now, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean it's going to happen in your life. Just because it says in the Bible that by His stripes ye were healed doesn't necessarily mean that you will be healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's an already accomplished fact as far as God is concerned. But until we're able to enter into that by activating the promise and receiving that promise inside us and causing that faith to be released in us, then it may never come into manifestation unless it is an act of the grace of God or by special manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, somebody laying hands on you or so on. See, just because it says Christ died for the sinner, that doesn't mean that all sinners are going to be saved. See, not all sinners will receive that. They could become sons of God, but they won't necessarily be. Same way with the promises of God. So, He has given us, through the exceeding great and precious promises, all things so that we might be partakers of His divine nature. So, the eternal power of God is in His Word. Turn there. I want you to see this in Hebrews, the first chapter. Let's just begin with verse 1. God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Now notice this statement, by whom also He made the worlds. In other words, the eternal power of God was in His Word. Jesus was called the Word of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus was the personification of God's Word upon the earth. By whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, whose glory? God's glory. And the express image of His person. Now notice that statement. You ought to underline that in your Bible. The express image of His person. And upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding all things by the word of His power. Now there's something significant here in verse 3. The word person here is the same Greek word that's translated substance in Hebrews 11:1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Have you ever just stopped and asked yourself, what is it you hope for? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That means things you desire. Well, now, what do you desire? I don't know about you, but I desire what God has given me. I mean, if it's mine, even in the natural, I want it. If God has given me these things through the exceeding great and precious promises, then I want to enter into them. So faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of what you can't see. Faith is the evidence or the proof of things you cannot see. Faith is a spiritual force. I'm going to say it again. It's the divine energy of God. It is stored in His Word. When you speak and quote God's Word, that divine energy is released inside you. Now, contrary to what we thought sometimes, we got the idea that faith cometh by reading. You know, we just kind of assumed that. It didn't say that. It said, faith cometh by hearing. Now, if you go back and read the 10th chapter of Romans, you'll find out what the Apostle Paul was driving at all the time. He said, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. He says, the Word is nigh thee. The righteousness which is of faith says, the Word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, he said, it has to get in your mouth before it gets in your heart. Now, how many of you know faith won't work in your head? There's a lot of people trying to have faith in their head. Oh, I'm just trying to have faith. You don't have faith by trying. You have faith by hearing. See, we just try to grasp something from God. You don't have to do that. He's already given it to you. I tell you, if you try to operate faith out of your head, you'll have a headache. It just won't work. It's like trying to heat this building with that thermostat on the wall. If that thermostat on the wall, if that's all you have, you're not going to heat this building because there's no substance in that thermostat. The substance is out there hooked to the heart of that unit. There's substance out there. That thermostat is the goal setter. And unless it sends an impulse out there and says, release some substance, you're not going to have any heat in this building. And some people trying to operate faith out of the head and there's no substance up there. The substance of things hoped for. So then if you don't have any hope, you have nothing for faith to give substance to. Now, I don't know why you have to say this, but you do. There's always somebody that thinks that you're going to bankrupt God with your faith. Don't worry about that. God built a divine law into the law of faith where you cannot abuse it. John said, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence in God. Whatsoever we ask of Him, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. In other words, if you ask for something you know is wrong, your heart will condemn you. You'll have a spiritual heart attack. You couldn't believe it. No way in the world. If I prayed that Brother Jim would lose his billfold so I could find it and get his money, well, you know that's not going to work. I couldn't have any faith that God would answer that prayer. I'd have a spiritual heart attack. My heart would condemn me. It'd shut my faith down. So we're not talking about obtaining something that God doesn't want you to have. We're talking about entering into the provision that God has made for you, that He's given for you. See, the Apostle Paul said it this way, our preaching to you, he said, me and Silvanus, when we came to you, said we didn't preach you yea and nay. He said it was yes and amen. He said all the promises of God are yes and amen. In other words, God didn't put a promise in the Word and say, yes, but you ugly thing, you're not going to get it. Now, that's the way some people, the way they act, that's the way you would think they understood that. Well, I know the Bible says that, but, you see, we're going to get ours when we get to heaven. Well, you can have yours when you get to heaven, but thank God the Word says that we enter into our inheritance here. We have eternal life. Thank God for it. See, if you're not a son of God now, you're not going to be one when you get to heaven. I mean, if you don't get to be a son of God down here, you can forget about ever being one up there. You'll never make it. We have to enter into the provisions that God has made for us. So faith is the substance of things. Now, come back here to Hebrews 1, where he said in verse 3, who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. In other words, the word person here in the Greek is the same Greek word that's translated substance over in Hebrews 11:1. Now, let's bring that Greek word, that English word over here and say that the express image of His substance. Jesus was the expressed image of God's substance. So then, Jesus was called the Word of God, so the Word of God is the exact expression of God's substance. It is the substance of God. It is His divine energy. It is His divine power. It is God's manifestation on the earth. Jesus was the personification of God upon the earth. He was the Word in person form. And He showed you what the Word could do in flesh, blood, and bone form upon the earth to destroy the works of the devil and bring the manifestation of God's power. Can you see that?
God bless you. We do appreciate you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. Trust you've been with us all this week. We've talked concerning the invisible things of God. Our offer this week is offer number 7506. It's called Changing the Seen and Shaping the Unseen. Book offer number 7506. 57-page paperback for $6 plus $3 postage and handling. Now, in this book, we have some chapter titles that are interesting. Looking at the Unseen. Well, how do you look at the unseen? The Apostle Paul tells us the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. So you look at the things that are made, and they reveal the invisible things of God. Faith in the unseen. We need to have faith in what we don't see that's promised in the Word of God. I mean, the promise is there. Give, and it shall be given unto you. But you're not able to see it with your own eyes, but you get it on the inside of you. Faith is unseen. You can't see faith, but you can see the results of faith. One of the chapter titles here is Shut Your Mouth. You remember Zacharias, he and his wife Elizabeth been praying for years for a child, and the angel appeared and said, you're going to have a child. Your wife Elizabeth's going to have a child. And he said, how do I know you're telling the truth? You're going to have to give me a sign. Well, evidently the angel knew that the man was in doubt and unbelief and didn't get his mouth shut up. It wouldn't happen. He said, I'm going to give you a sign, all right. You're going to be struck dumb until the day it comes to pass. So he was struck dumb for 9 months to keep him speaking all that doubt and unbelief. So Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, you know, said to Jesus, my little daughter is at the point of death. If you come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she shall live. And he had great faith and he got exactly what he said. But Jesus said, fear not, only believe. That's offer number 7506. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. Glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
In Romans, I want to read that first chapter, verse 20 again. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and the Godhead. The Word is His eternal power. In Mark's Gospel, the 4th chapter, Jesus told a parable. Now, whether you realize this or not, for years I didn't understand it. But it's very plain right there, I believe it's in Matthew, the 13th chapter, it says he opened his mouth in parables and spoke things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So in these parables were things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. But sometimes because we tend to separate the natural from the spiritual, we miss it altogether. And what Jesus did in the parable of the sower, he started talking about a sower went forth to sow. What did he sow? He sowed words. The sower soweth the word. And the word was the seed. Now link this with what Paul's saying. You can understand the invisible things of God by the things that are made. A seed, you can see it. Every farmer has faith in the seed. I mean, in that seed is the ability to produce a plant exactly like the one that that seed came from. It has the ability to do that. It is the substance of things desired. Now, when a farmer goes out here to plant corn, and he plants a bushel to the acre, or however much he plants, he doesn't want a bushel of corn to the acre. If he did, he'd just keep the one he planted. No need of planting it if you're just going to get a bushel back. Might as well eat it. But he plants the seed knowing that there is power in that seed to produce much more. A hundredfold return. So the substance is in the seed. Now let me take you mentally over to the scripture where Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 5 and 6, the apostles came to him and said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, if you had faith as a seed, you would say to the sycamine tree, be plucked up by the root, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He's telling you that faith works like a seed. The divine energy of God has in it the seed to cause the manifestation of God's divine power so that you can be a partaker of the divine nature of God, entering into the provisions that God has made through His eternal Word. They belong to you. They're yours. Somebody said, well, why is it that so many people never enter into it? Same reason the children of Israel never entered into the promised land. Many of them belonged to them. It was theirs. God gave it to them. He even assigned a special angel to keep them in the way and lead them to the place that God had prepared for them. But thousands of them died in the wilderness and never did see the promised land. Was it because it wasn't God's will? Oh, no. It was God's will. It was because of their disobedience. In fact, it's the Hebrews chapter 4 says, Paul said that it was because they wouldn't mix any faith with the Word of God. Now listen to this. This is the reason why many people never enter into God's provision. They won't mix any faith with the Word of God. Jesus said, if you had faith as a seed, you would say to the obstacle that's in your path, be plucked up. Be planted in the sea. And Jesus said, it would obey you. Didn't say it obey God. Said it would obey you because He gave you His eternal promise. It would obey you. Now you hear people all the time say, well, you're not going to catch me talking to the tree. No, and you're not going to catch the tree moving either. The problem is, though, they do talk to the tree. They say, whoo, tree, you getting bigger. You always hinder me. You always in my way. I never am able to do what I want to do because this tree just gets bigger. How many of you know he wasn't talking about trees anyway? He's talking about problem areas in your life. The same as he was talking about in Mark 11:23. He wasn't talking about moving the Rocky Mountains. He's talking about mountains of problems that you face in life. Whosoever shall say to it, be removed, be cast into the sea. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. What's he going to believe? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Then he shall have whatsoever he saith. If he believe and doubt not in his heart. See, in his heart, that's where faith works, is in the heart. It won't work in the head. works in the heart. Paul says the way you get faith in your heart, he said you get the word in your mouth. What saith it? The righteousness which is of faith says the word is nigh me, in my mouth and in my heart. It's nigh you. It's in your mouth and then it's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul called the word of God the word of faith. It is the eternal word of God. It is filled with faith. So we understand then that the faith of God has in it, I mean the Word of God has in it a seed. That seed is capable of producing the very thing the promise said. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. There is enough power, divine energy of God in that promise to cause the manifestation of it in every individual that will ever believe it and act upon it. It'll work. It'll work every time. Now some people get offended because it didn't work as quick as they wanted it to. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't ever base your faith on experience. Base it on the Word of God. What you experience in life never changes God's Word. See the parable of the sower. Jesus said, the seed that was sown on the stony ground, it came up quickly. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, but because it had no root, and it withered away. And when he explained that, he said, they got offended at the Word. They got offended at the Word. God's Word promised this, and I experienced this, so they got offended at the Word of God. Whatever you experience in life never changes God's Word. But God's Word will always change your experience in life if you'll hold fast to it. You may not think it worked when it ought to. But just like any farmer knows that when he plants a seed and that thing is covered up and you look across that field and you don't see corn the first or wheat or anything. He says, man, I got it all planted. I got a good... He just sees a good crop out there because he knows what the earth will do. He knows that the earth is designed to cause the manifestation of that which he planted. Now let me point something out to you that's very important. The soil does not determine what is raised in that field. The seed you planted determines what it comes up there. Now I want you to get this because it's important. Many people are sowing ragweeds and cockleburrs and bawling and squalling because they didn't get wheat. Well, the Lord knew what I meant. How are they planting the seed? Jesus said, if you had faith as a seed, you would say. Tells you two great faith secrets in that verse of Scripture. Faith works like a seed. The way you plant it is to say it. Now connect that with what the Apostle Paul said in Romans, the 10th chapter. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and then in thy heart. See, it won't get in your heart. It won't be planted until you speak it. It won't be indelibly imprinted there. It won't get in you until you speak it. And you study the whole 10th chapter of Romans and you'll conclude like I did, that when Paul said in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing. The word so means because of what I've said in the preceding verses, then we conclude that faith then comes by hearing the Word of God. Out of your own mouth. The implication is out of your own mouth because that's what he talked about. The Word is nigh thee, it's in your mouth, and then it's in your heart. Now, you take the Word of God, the Word of promise. That's what he's talking about. What saith the righteousness which is of faith? He says the righteousness which is of faith says, Jesus is not here. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. How am I going to get my needs met? He said the righteousness which is of faith says the word of promise is as close to you as getting it in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which I preach. Can you see that? In other words, the word will do the same thing that Jesus would have done if he were here. The word will still bring the manifestation of God's power in the earth today the same as if Jesus were here himself.
God bless you. I do appreciate you allowing us to minister to you by means of radio today as we've taught about the invisible things of God. Our book offer this week is book offer number 7506. 7506. It's called Changing the Seen and Shaping the Unseen. 57-page paperback for $6 plus $3 postage and handling, a total of $9. In this book, we talk about such subjects as, well, here's the chapter titles, Looking at the Unseen. Now, how in the world can you look at the unseen? I mean, that sounds like a paradox. Well, Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. So we look at the unseen by looking at the Word of God. God's Word says that if you give, it'll be given unto you. Well, you may not see people giving unto you, but if you give, you begin to confess the Word. You get that image on the inside of you. And one of the chapter titles in here is Faith is Unseen. God created the worlds with something you couldn't see. He didn't create it out of something that just appears on the scene. No, the Scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God framed the world with His words. So when you begin to look at God's Word, you begin to look at the unseen because it promises a lot of things that haven't been manifest yet in your life. And you know that. Well, you begin to confess that word until you can see yourself with it. Chapter 3 is called Changing the Scene. You can change what is seen. Chapter 4 is called Shut Your Mouth. That's what the angel did to Zacharias. He got his mouth closed or the promise would never come to pass. Offer number 7506. 57-page paperback for $6 plus $3 postage and handling, a total of $9. The toll-free order line is 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. Glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things from Him, of Him from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and the Godhead. Now, we've talked about here the eternal power, the Word of God. Now, we clearly understand the eternal power of God through His Word, through it being related as a seed. In Mark, the 4th chapter, Jesus said, the sower soweth the Word. Then when you come on down, it tells you all the things can happen to it. Comes over to verse 26 and says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man cast seed into the ground. Now, follow me. The parable of the sower is this, establishing this natural truth as related to the spiritual insight into the kingdom of God is that the soil is what brings forth the fruit. It is the thing that produces. The ground produces. The seed determines what is produced. Now catch that. The soil is established in Mark 4 as being the production center. And Jesus says it is the heart of man. Now, I call it the spirit. There's different ideas about it, but I can understand it better if you say the spirit of man. The spirit is the real you. The spirit is the production center. It's what I believe the Bible refers to in most places as the heart. Sometimes it's used in another manner. So then the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God is planted in the heart by saying it, by speaking it. When you get to verse 26, it says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man cast seed into the ground. So who does the sowing? The individual. Now when it says man, it means mankind. It means you ladies too. Individual. You must sow it. How do you sow it? Jesus said, if you had faith as a seed, you'll say it. Saying the promises of God, proclaiming them to be true in your life, will cause the divine energy of God that is in that seed of promise to get inside you. You may not even believe it when you start saying it. But faith cometh by what? Hearing the Word of God. And it comes more quickly by you hearing yourself speak and quote God's Word. So you speak and you quote the Word of God. Now, the kingdom of God's if a man cast the seed into the ground, the seed should spring and grow up and he knoweth not how. Somebody said, well, I don't understand how me saying this is going to cause the manifestation of it. Well, you're certainly scriptural because Jesus said it'll spring up and you don't know how. You don't have to understand all about it. Just be obedient to what Jesus said to do. He sowed the seed and he went to bed and he got up. Anybody in here don't know how to go to bed and get up? Now, that didn't mean that he quit his job. And he kept doing what he'd do, just doing the things he did. Now, see, Jesus is showing you how natural things reveals the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. Where is it? It is in the heart of man. That's where the kingdom is established within you now. Now, he's going to set up a literal kingdom on this earth. But now we have the kingdom of God within us that is capable of supplying every human need. There is no need that the kingdom will not supply here on this earth. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Now, what's he saying? He said, don't seek the thing. And you know that's what most people are doing. They're seeking the thing instead of the kingdom that will produce the thing. That's like a farmer going out here and say, well, I want to raise a 40,000 bushel of wheat this year, so I'm going to go buy 40,000 bushel of wheat. Amen. Your elevator don't go all the way to the top. You go plant some wheat. You see, you don't seek the thing. The farmer does not seek the thing that he wants in the harvest. He seeks the ground, the soil, and the seed that will produce the harvest. And then he does what he knows to do. And this is what Jesus is trying to get over to us. You don't seek the thing. You seek the kingdom that will produce the thing. Now, if I said I was going to seek the kingdom, most people would think I'm seeking something up in heaven. No, I'm not seeking something up in heaven. If I'm going to seek my Bible, what would I do? Wouldn't go looking in heaven for it, would I? Try to find out where it is. Or someone said, where it's at. So if you're going to seek the kingdom, find out where the kingdom is. The kingdom is within you. It's in the heart of man. It's established in the heart of individuals. It is a spiritual kingdom that is no less capable of supplying every human need than the kingdom that will be set up in the New Jerusalem. But it's a different manifestation of that kingdom. It is powered by the eternal Word of God. The seed has the ability to produce the very thing the Word promised. But if you don't plant the seed, guess what? You won't get the harvest. Now, you hear people say this all the time. Well, I'm just leaving it all up to God. If God wants me to prosper, if God wants me to have this, He'll just give it to me. That's just like a sinner saying, if God wants me saved, He'll save me. If not, I'll just go to hell. It's fixing to get hot, brother. Because He's done all He's going to do about it. Now it's in your ballpark. And you hear people all the time say, well, I'm just leaving it up to God. Well, why don't you leave your garden up to God? Well, just let God raise what He wants to in my garden, and I'll tell you exactly what will come up in your garden. Ragweeds, cuckaburras, Johnson grass, Bermuda grass, and nothing good to eat. Now, was that because God didn't want you to have anything to eat? No. It's because you got so heavenly minded you no earthly good. You didn't understand the parable of the sower. Jesus took the natural element and showed you clearly how the invisible things work. You take the seed of the Word of God, you speak it, and you plant it. Now, people get all bent out of shape. Well, that's just too mechanical, just saying what God said. Well, you must thank your God saying all the things that God said. You're just trying to act like God. Well, now, let's analyze that a minute. If I'm acting like God, saying what God said, then who are you acting like when you say what the devil said? I believe I'd rather act like God. Not trying to be God. I'm trying to act as God would act in a given situation, you see. Now, do you follow this thing that the invisible things from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made? A seed will teach you how God's Word works. Then Jesus tells you about the sower sowing the Word. That he's taking the natural things to show you how the earth is created to produce if you have enough obedience to plant in it. Now the earth, He said, was the heart of the soil in Mark the 4th chapter, was the heart of man. See how He took something that was made and clearly revealed to you how the human spirit is designed, how the heart of man is designed to produce everything that you have need of. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we within ourselves are sufficient and that it's all our humanistic... No. We're talking about God's divine Word in us, activating the power of God in the kingdom of God, and it is God bringing this forth through His divine order, that you might be partakers of the divine nature. You speak it, and it plants the seed. You say something. See, how in the world would you ever get anything from Mark 11:23 if you didn't say it first before it ever came to pass? Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed. Well, when you said that, it wasn't removed. How in the world would you ever get anything by that principle if you didn't say it first? Then believe and doubt not in his heart. And believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have. What's he going to have? Whatsoever he saith. In other words, whatsoever he planteth. That's what he's saying. And he's telling you that the eternal things of God are clearly understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and the Godhead. The power of God, His divine energy, is released in His Word. The Word of God, every promise in that Bible that you have in the New Testament, every promise in the New Testament is a valuable seed to you. But it may never produce anything for you. It may never cause a manifestation unless you plant it. There must be an active part. You must be active on your part to cause the manifestation of that. You must plant the seed. Then you'll have the harvest.
God bless you. We do appreciate you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. Trust you've been with us all this week. We've talked concerning the invisible things of God. Our offer this week is offer number 7506. It's called Changing the Seen and Shaping the Unseen. Book offer number 7506. 57-page paperback for $6 plus $3 postage and handling. Now, in this book, we have some chapter titles that are interesting. Looking at the Unseen. Well, how do you look at the unseen? The Apostle Paul tells us the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. So you look at the things that are made, and they reveal the invisible things of God. Faith in the unseen. We need to have faith in what we don't see that's promised in the Word of God. I mean, the promise is there. Give, and it shall be given unto you, but you're not able to see it with your own eyes, but you get it on the inside of you. Faith is unseen. You can't see faith, but you can see the results of faith. One of the chapter titles here is Shut Your Mouth. You remember Zacharias, he and his wife Elizabeth been praying for years for a child, and the angel appeared and said, you're going to have a child. Your wife Elizabeth's going to have a child. And he said, how do I know you're telling the truth? You're going to have to give me a sign. Well, evidently the angel knew that the man was in doubt and unbelief and didn't get his mouth shut up. It wouldn't happen. He said, I'm going to give you a sign, all right. You're going to be struck dumb until the day it comes to pass. So he was struck dumb for 9 months to keep him speaking all that doubt and unbelief. So Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, you know, said to Jesus, my little daughter is at the point of death. If you come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she shall live. And he had great faith and he got exactly what he said, but Jesus said, fear not, only believe. That's offer number 7506. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400. 1-877-396-9400. Until tomorrow, this is Charles Capps, reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area. Glad you could join us today for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. This program is dedicated to teach you how to put the Word of God to work so that it will make a positive difference in the everyday circumstances of your life. And now, here's Charles Capps.
Now we're going to talk about the Godhead. Have you ever been able to understand the Godhead? Don't be like Sunday school teacher was. She thought she had an absolute foolproof way to prove the Godhead. She told her children, you know, about now, you know, it's God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost said, now here's an egg, it's a shell, then it's got a white inside, and then there's a yolk inside. So she broke it to prove her point, and there was two yolks. Kind of blew her illustration. But go back with me to Genesis, the first chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, God looked out and He saw darkness, and He called for what was not there. He called for light. Now, you understand readily that God operates different than what humans do. If it had been us, we'd have looked out and said, whoo, it's dark. I don't think it'll ever be light. But God called for what He didn't have. Now, this is a principle. You'll find it all through the Bible. God calls things that are not as though they were until they are. That's why you should continually call for the promise of God that is not manifest in your life. There's people that'll tell you you're lying if you confess that promise when it's not manifest. How could you lie saying what God said? See, that's the method of calling it. It produces faith, the divine energy of God. Now, as you follow this over into verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God said, let us make man in our image. Who's us? Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, he said, let us make man in our image. Then it went on to say that God made man in his image and his likeness. The word image and likeness indicates that it was going to be a duplication of kind. Now listen to me. A seed produces after its kind. The law of Genesis in verse 11 and 12 says that every grass, every herb, every fruit tree produced after its kind whose seed was in itself. Now God says, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Now what kind is God if he's going to produce after his kind? God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, man is created in the image and likeness of God. Move right over to the second chapter, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The Amplified says he breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life. Now, if God breathed spirit life into Adam, what kind of spirit was it? It was the Spirit of God, wasn't it? So here's a man that God has made. He has a body. He's made his body out of the dust of the ground. But now the real creation is going to happen. See, he made his body out of something that already existed. That's not the creation. He formed his body out of the dust of the ground. Then he breathed into his nostrils the spirit of life. That's the spirit of God, isn't it? So the real man is the spirit man. And it came directly from God. It's his spirit. It's not somebody else's spirit. It's not the devil's spirit. It's not any human spirit. It's the spirit of God that was breathed into him, and then it is called the human spirit in the Bible. So it was God's spirit imparted to man. Man's spirit came from God, in other words. Now, let's notice something. Paul said you'll even be able to understand the eternal power and the Godhead by the things that are made. Now, man was made in the image of God and in his likeness. If you go over into the Thessalonians, see the 1st or 2nd Thessalonians, says Paul says that God would preserve your whole spirit, soul, and body blameless. Spirit, soul, and body. That tells us that man is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in a body. He's a threefold being. Mankind was so much a duplication of God's kind until he is a threefold being. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, Paul said you can understand the Godhead by the things that are made. I want you to see that. God is a spirit, and man, God breathed his spirit into man, and the real creation of man was spirit. It's his spirit. Came from God. It is of God. It was God's spirit. It became what the Bible calls the human spirit. Proverbs says in chapter 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his belly. So God breathed his spirit into Adam. Now, man is a spirit. He relates to God, who is a spirit. And God's spirit beareth witness with our spirit. You see the connection there. God's Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God. It didn't say our body bears witness with God or God bears witness with our body. God communicates with the Spirit. Then Jesus was the physical manifestation of God upon the earth. He was the Word made flesh. He was the physical manifestation of God. And we are today what the Apostle Paul called the body of Christ. Did you catch that? We're the only body that Christ has on the earth today. His physical body is seated at the right hand of the Father. We'll stay there until his enemies have made his footstool. So the body relates to the body, or to Christ's body, which we are called the body of Christ. Then the soul of man is the link that links the body to the Spirit. The inner link. It is called the Holy Spirit, all through the Bible, is called teacher and guide. The soul is composed of the will, the mind, and the emotions. See, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truths. See, with your mind, it's your guidance system of this body. I mean, the intellectual part, you see. We're able to assemble knowledge and so on. So the soul of man relates to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit relates to the soul of man because He reveals these things to us. See, Paul says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have they entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And a lot of people just stop there and just glory in the fact that you've never know or understand, but you will if you read the next verse. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. What is His Spirit? The Holy Spirit. How did He reveal them? He revealed them through the Spirit, His Spirit into our spirit. But you see, it had to come through the intellectual realm because it connects the body to the Spirit. You can get things in your spirit, but it has to get into your intellectual knowledge sometimes before you can ever get it out. So the Holy Spirit relates to the soul of man, the guidance system. The spirit of man relates to the Father, which is a spirit. And the body, our physical bodies, relate to Jesus, for we are the body of Christ. So what Paul is saying is very vividly understood when you approach it from that angle. That's the eternal Godhead. Man is created in His likeness. Now, that doesn't mean that we're gods as God is God. We'll never be God. We never want to be God, but we are created in His image and His likeness. And Jesus did say, ye are gods to whom the Word of God came. What was He talking about? He's talking about rulers and magistrates. Now, there's people that want to make a great issue out of that, but if you'll study the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you'll find that God spoke of mighty men of God, judges, magistrates, and rulers as being gods. And if you read Matthew, the 10th chapter, He said to the scribes, the people there He's talking to, He said, I said, ye are gods to whom the Word of God came. Read Psalms 82 is where He got that from. So it's important to understand that we're made in the image and the likeness of God. We are not gods, but we are rulers, to be rulers in the earth. Under God, to do the work of God in the earth. See, Jesus came, the Bible said Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Well, He's ascended to the Father. And when He left, He said, now you go in My name, you cast out the demons, you speak with new tongues, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What He did, He delegated that responsibility and rulership to the body of Christ, and that's why Paul says, now you are the body of Christ. And members in particular. You're the only body that Jesus has in the earth today. So we are to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen. God bless you. We do appreciate you joining us for the Concepts of Faith broadcast. Trust you've been with us all this week. We've talked concerning the invisible things of God. Our offer this week is offer number 7506. It's called Changing the Seen and Shaping the Unseen. Book offer number 7506. 57-page paperback for $6 plus $3 postage and handling. Now, in this book, we have some chapter titles that are interesting. Looking at the unseen. Well, how do you look at the unseen? The Apostle Paul tells us, the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. So you look at the things that are made, and they reveal the invisible things of God. Faith in the unseen. We need to have faith in what we don't see that's promised in the Word of God. I mean, the promise is there. Give, and it shall be given unto you. But you're not able to see it with your own eyes, but you get it on the inside of you. Faith is unseen. You can't see faith, but you can see the results of faith. One of the chapter titles here is Shut Your Mouth. You remember Zacharias. He and his wife Elizabeth been praying for years for a child, and the angel appeared and said, you're going to have a child. Your wife Elizabeth's going to have a child. And he said, how do I know you're telling the truth? You're going to have to give me a sign. Well, evidently the angel knew that the man was in doubt and unbelief and didn't get his mouth shut up. It wouldn't happen. He said, I'm going to give you a sign, all right. You're going to be struck dumb until the day it comes to pass. So he was struck dumb for 9 months to keep him speaking all that doubt and unbelief. So Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, you know, said to Jesus, my little daughter is at the point of death. If you come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she shall live. And he had great faith, and he got exactly what he said. But Jesus said, fear not, only believe. That's offer number 7506. We have a toll-free order line, 1-877-396-9400, 1-877-396-9400. Until Monday, this is Charles Capps reminding you that the enemy is defeated, God is exalted, and yes, Jesus is coming soon.
To order the product offered on today's program, send your check or money order to Charles Capps Ministries. Or to place your order on Visa or MasterCard, call 1-877-396-9400. For more information about Charles Capps Ministries or for a schedule of meetings, write to Charles Capps Ministries, P.O. Box 69, England, Arkansas, 72046. This broadcast has been sponsored by Charles Capps Ministries and our partners in this area.